Brothers, what does it mean to love and what does it mean to forgive? This is Man Talk, no goo, on this edition of Frank Relationships.
You're listening to Frank Relationships with Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Yeah, as always, those are my babies. Thanks for getting daddy started today. Mwah! President and principal consultant of Deep Forgiveness, Daryl C. Green III, is with us today, and I am curious. Now that the man that killed your brother's out of prison, why are you working with him?
I will say to you, good morning, Frank, and the listening audience. I'm working with him because it is a part of my journey. It's a part of my healing journey. I was in the dark at one point, and I'm moving towards the light. I'm trying to share our story. I want to share our story. A lot of folks sweat the small stuff, and most of the things are small stuff. And so what we're trying to do is, by sharing our story of healing, reconciliation, and forgiveness, hopefully it will help some other folks along their journey and move from the darkness into the light. And so that's why I'm working with him, to help to breathe life and help to move some other folks around the world who are in bondage, and help moving them from being in bondage to being free. Because forgiveness is a choice, and forgiveness it's freeing. And so it helped to free me, and so we want to help free others.
And why is forgiveness a path towards freedom and hope?
Well, again, freedom is a choice, and it's almost like drinking poison and expecting somebody else to
die.
You know? And hurt people, and so we're trying to, again, help to move folks to be able to look through a different set of lenses. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we wear those lenses, our own lenses, for so long, they get dirty, they get cracks in it, they get scrapes in it. And to be able to help them look through a different set of lenses, it's freeing. I lived for a long time with anger. Mm-hmm. And I said that, you got my little brother, but you won't get me. And if you two of us walk in the room, I'm going to walk out. Regardless how, what happened, I'm going to walk out. And so I asked my higher power, God, and I'm just going to be bold about it. I asked God to give me something other than anger. And he gave me forgiveness and healing. And so that has been our mission, man, just to help to breathe life into other folks and help them along their journey.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Welcome to Frank Relationships, a show for you, my brethren, who, like me, are too young to be considered old and too old to be considered young. It's also for those of you who love and support us. We're here to provide weekly wisdom, conversation, and the information that'll help create loving and flexible parents and partners. I'm Frank Love, and you can find me, my blog, and my various social media incarnations at franklove.com. If you're listening to the show on Blog Talk Radio, please follow us, and via iTunes, please subscribe so that you can effortlessly get the show each week. Also, if you're enjoying the show, and of course you are, please give us a favorable iTunes rating, and please share it with your family and friends on your favorite social media platform. We're always looking for new social media friends, so please help us help our communities by spreading the word about the show. Greetings to my super duper co-host, Nancy Goldring.
Hi, Frank.
How the heck are you?
Never better.
And that's great to hear. The consummate generalist is in the house.
Indeed.
Ha ha. Today's guest is an advocate for the restoration of families and economic empowerment for the disenfranchised. He's also a staunch proponent for libertarian reconciliation and forgiveness. Pegged by industry professionals as an innovative change agent on mental health, healing, social welfare, and social justice, and inspired by the gospel mandates to love, serve, and teach. He served as a leader of efforts to battle homelessness, murder, substance abuse, and incarceration. So, if you, like me, want to know why healing is important, how to forgive, and what in the world agape love is, then stay tuned as your Frank Relationship team talks with coach, consultant, trainer, facilitator, and the president and principal consultant of Deep Forgiveness, Mr. Daryl C. Green III. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome. Welcome.
Before we get too deep into today's subject matter, I want to check in to see what's going on in the news or in the world of relationships.
So, mercy.
Brother Green, please don't be bashful.
All right.
We want your thoughts, too. You got something for me, Nancy?
I think you have something for me, Frank.
Ah, okay.
Have that feeling.
Okay, all right. We are following up on last week's segment where we talked about Dr. John Gottman.
Yes.
And he has three research-based tips for successful relationships that he found in people who are in successful relationships.
Mm.
And we talked about the first one last week, which was express interest. You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. You've been
expressing interest? Yes. I expressed interest already. That was easy.
Did you express interest in your environment?
Yeah.
What Green, do you express?
Because I am interested.
You are.
Yeah.
You're a class act, Nancy.
Thank you.
All day, every day.
You do.
All day, every day.
Wife says to you, guess what happened to me? You actually respond. What's up, babe? What happened?
Yes, yes. Listen, man, I'm real clear. My wife and I have been together for 27 years, brother.
Nice.
And so, listen, I'm real clear that she's a commanding chief.
All right.
And we have two daughters, and there's two generals. At the end of the day, I've got veto power.
Nice.
And so, it is such a beautiful journey that we've been on. Good days, bad days.
Yeah.
If somebody tell you they've been together for 27 years and it's been peaches and cream and everything nice, they're lying.
Somebody wasn't there. Somebody wasn't there.
Yeah.
Well, we got number two, which is be gentle in conflict. And here's what he wrote. Avoid criticism or blame and instead focus on your own needs. For example, instead of saying you never help around the house, focus on what you do need by stating the house needs cleaning and I would really appreciate some help. Avoid statements of you never or you always, because a core research finding was that the masters, meaning those in relationships that are he considered masters and being in those relationships and the skill set that they bring, remain positive in conflict by listening to their partners without criticizing, becoming defensive, shutting down, or acting superior. That last piece, acting superior, that's powerful. I mean, that's, if you think about the act of acting superior than someone, that's
when you think you're right, especially.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the kind of the grounds of acting superior, thinking that you know better. That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's powerful. Be gentle in conflict instead of beating your partner up. You know, figure out a way to.
Are you all gentle in conflict?
Well, listen, that was a learning thing.
Stop throwing lamps.
Yeah, that was a learning thing. And what I had to also realize is that there's life and death in the tongue. And some of the things that you say, you can't take back.
You can't take back any of the things.
No, there's be mindful what words come out of your mouth. And if you are upset, walk away and come back. My wife and I learned, again, even after being in this relationship for so long, we were watching a show maybe a couple of weeks ago, and the husband and wife were in a very intense argument, just going back and forth. And the guy said, well, all right, well, I'll see you upstairs in about half an hour. I mean, I'll see you upstairs. Mm-hmm. And we're done with the conversation. I'll see you upstairs. And she says, well, just give me a half an hour. She needed that time just mm-hmm. to regroup. Mm-hmm. But half an hour was over, and they kept moving. And it was beautiful. And my wife and I looked at each other like, wow, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And so let's we say, well, I'll see you upstairs in a half an hour. And then we'll both laugh. But it was just a gentle way of moving beyond the conflict and moving on to just a beautiful space.
But they actually had the conflict. They had the back and forth, the rigor, the intensity.
Oh, yeah.
Fiery words and tones.
Straight fire.
Really? And then they could back up and say.
Yes, because they looked at the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And for us, we have to model for our children.
Sure.
All the time.
And they're always watching and they're always listening when you don't think they're listening. Mm-hmm. And so, and sometimes, you know, our children will say, well, Daddy, I don't like when you and Mommy. And I said, listen, it's life. We have a disagreement. We still love each other and we're still going to be here. Mm-hmm. And being able to show it in a loving way. Well, coming back downstairs and giving her a hug while the girls can see, can see that exchange.
Yeah.
That it's fire for a second, but we come back.
We back.
Yeah.
Wow. I like what you said, though. You said there's a bigger picture.
Yes.
And I feel like if two people are together and the size of the picture is only he makes me happy, she's sexy, she looks good on my arm, he buys me things. Like, if that's the picture, then you're heading for the wall.
Yeah.
Because when something big comes up, you don't have anything. You're not grounded in anything that will sustain you.
And let me add to that, sure. Nancy. In my household, in our relationship, I can't make you happy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You got to already be happy. I can enhance your happiness. But if you got some other stuff going on, you've got to fix that. As your mate, all my wife can do is enhance my happiness. And she does it very well. Mm-hmm. And all I can do is enhance her happiness. And again, getting back to the bigger picture, because we're not only husband and wife, but we're parents. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we've got to keep that out in the forefront, that we've got two daughters who are watching. It's bigger picture.
But you know what, Daryl? I submit to you that two people have to figure out what the bigger picture is for them.
I agree. Yes.
Only because lots of people have two daughters, two sons, a house full of kids, right?
Yes.
And they still don't stay together. They don't toe the line.
Yes.
And so
maybe they shouldn't.
Well, I'm not saying that they should.
Like
but
you said, they got to figure it out for themselves.
Yeah, they got to figure it out for themselves. Because what I'm hearing and what you're saying is that your commitment to your children is such that it fuels your capacity to move through the tough spots and keep it moving together. Whatever drama comes up isn't bigger than your commitment to your girls or to your love for each other.
Yes.
Right? So, but if I'm not authentically motivated by being a parent, then if something wild happens and I feel like, oh, I can't, you know, this is getting on my nerves, you spend too much money, whatever people's issues are, then again, you're heading for the wall.
Yeah.
So if you don't know, or even if your partner doesn't know, what they're committed to that's really bigger than themselves.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear bigger picture, I'm hearing bigger than yourself.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you're not up to something that's bigger than yourself, then those things that you deem smaller than yourself, one false move, and the whole house of cards is coming down.
Yeah. I think for us, we're just all in. We're all in.
Nice.
We're all in. Regardless of what it is, ride or die, we all in.
Right.
And I don't have to worry about I don't have to worry about, does she have my back?
Yeah.
She flinch sometimes, but she ain't flinching too many times.
I hear you.
But she's got my back, and we're just all in.
Sure.
And it's a beautiful piece to know that somebody's riding with you. When you try and keep the lights on, when you try and pay the mortgage, they riding with you.
Yep. Right.
So just being all in, man. So I'm blessed to have a beautiful queen by my side.
Excellent.
Very nice. Okay, Brother Green, before, and you're going to hear me call this gentleman Brother Green because he's frat.
Yes, sir.
Give it up.
Yes,
Omega
sir.
Omega Sci-Fi.
To the day we die.
Absolutely.
Purple and gold.
Yeah, yeah. Ladies.
Yes. Getting it in.
And I don't think I've ever said this on the show, but 302 Sinu.
Right. 302 sign news.
That's
sounds
me.
Like something I'm going to be getting in my email as a mantra to remember.
187.
Oh my goodness.
Lambda Psi. Lambda Psi, Livingstone College, Salisbury, North Carolina. So just a shout out
up.
To all the brothers of Omega Psi Phi. We love y'all, man. And we just trying to keep pushing.
Here. You got something to say, Jeff? You look like you want to.
You got any numbers?
Nah, Rich, my wallet when I hear you brothers singing.
And the room we're in is purple, y'all. Y'all can't see it, but it's purple. The walls
sure
are purple.
There's no accident in the universe.
Yes.
I'm telling you as I look around.
I will say this, though.
Hit it.
The dedication and sense of community that fraternities provide those communities adds to the strength in family.
Yes.
Because there is that understanding. There is the work to get, it's like sports and music.
Sure.
You work together for the good of the bigger.
Yes.
And I can guarantee you in your 28 years or so of marriage, all of the things you just explained changed a whole lot over time. And so, you know, you see marriages break up within the first 2 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. You make it past a few hurdles, then you know how to hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes easier.
Nice.
Yeah. Jeff, you just hit a grand slam home run, man.
Thank you.
Yes.
He does that periodically. Mm-hmm.
He's a Q.
Now I have to go back to pushing my buttons.
He's Q grad chapter.
What? Watch yourself, man. Hey, look, don't.
Frank, I look and say, wait a minute, hold on, man. Hold
put
on.
That in
hold,
there.
On Nance. Hold on, Nancy. Hold on, Nancy.
All right.
It's all love.
Get on this stage somewhere.
It's
I
all
said
love.
Early this was straight man talk. I'm like, well, why did I fight the traffic to get in here?
All right, Brother Green, let's get to the good stuff.
All right.
Okay.
Tell me about your journey towards healing, reconciliation, and forgiveness.
Well, I'll say to you, Frank, it's been a long journey with a lot of stops and starts. Deep forgiveness is, I am, again, healing Baltimore. It could be healing Atlanta. It could be healing New Zealand. It could be healing Mexico. But healing Baltimore, one person, one family, one community at a time. Deep forgiveness is, my younger brother, Ruben, went bowling. He checked his shoes to use their shoes.
What year was this?
This is 1988. Mm-hmm. And a young man who's 15 years old went behind a counter, took a shoe, altercation broke out. And manager put the other young man out. He armed himself. He came back and he stabbed him. Mm-hmm. And he died 4 days later, shock trauma in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. As a result of that, his life was changed forever. My life was changed forever. My family's life was changed forever. He, first degree murder, and got life. Mm-hmm. He applied for a modification of his sentence, but he spent 25 years in jail. Mm-hmm. And so imagine a 15-year-old young man going to jail in an adult penal institution and serving 25 years. Mm-hmm. And so he came in for a modification of his sentence. My dad and I, we went to court, and we testified on his behalf because we forgave him. Mm-hmm. And
were you in touch with him before that?
Nah, man. I had just been working on it myself. And so wherever I would speak across the country, I would always infuse my brother's story in. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about choices and conflicts, choices or consequences that you make. I would always infuse his story in. I would always just talk about him and making the right decisions. Because some decisions you make, you can't take back.
Right.
To young folks, to older folks, And so we forgave him. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, I asked the judge modified his sentence from
life
mm-hmm. suspended all but 30 years. And he had been there for 25, almost 26 years. And so I went, but had not been in contact with him because, you know, the criminal justice system will not tell you where the perpetrator, uh-huh. what facility is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got friends, mm-hmm. so, and probably if I knew where he was at early on, mm-hmm. I probably would have
seen him sooner.
Right.
Okay.
So, again, I was full with anger, Nancy.
Let's be clear. When you say seen him sooner, I think you mean something different than what he means.
I think, yeah, we have a different definition.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it.
But we'll keep going.
Yeah. So, nonetheless, I asked the judge, again, all part of my healing, Frank. I asked the judge, once he modified the sentence, could I shake his hand?
Hmm.
And we've all been in courts, and I went beyond. The judge says neither man opposes, and I went beyond those swinging doors. And he had a three-piece suit on, what I call a three-piece suit. He had shackles around his arms, around his waist, and around his ankles.
Mm.
And then I shook his hand, and I knew that the hand he shook my hand with was the one that he used to kill my brother. Again, all part of my healing process. I needed that for me. I needed to shake his hand. I need to look him in his eyes. And Frank, I was crying and he was crying. And I said, God has just given you a second chance. And that you've been known for taking life. So now let's you and I go together and save some lives together.
You said that right there.
I said it right there. And it's on the recording and the court proceeding. 3 weeks later, I had been in contact with his auntie. Let me back up a second. After we forgave him. Both sides of family, we came out in the hallway, and the attorneys and everybody. And I asked, did they believe in prayer? And we all held hands and prayed. Prior to that, the mom, when they did a recess, Frank and Nancy, for 25 years, we had been looking for somebody to say they were sorry, remorseful, or something. They did a recess, and every one of his family members kind of stood in line and gave my father a hug. And that was such a powerful piece. And that began the journey. That began, because why should we hate you? Why should you hate us? We didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And so the family began to mend in that recess. After they made the final decision, we all came out afterwards and prayed. And it was, I positioned my father on one side, the mother on the other side of my father, and his father, who had some stuff going with him, he came and apologized to me, but he didn't, or said remorse to me. And I said, well, I was only his brother. There's my dad right there. And so I purposely put his mama on one side of my father and his dad on the other side, and we prayed some kind of hard in that room. 3 weeks later, I had been talking to his aunt, trying to make plans to go to Jessup to visit him. Mm-hmm. 3 weeks later, I get a phone call outside my work saying, is this Daryl Green? Can you come outside? I have a gift for you. And it was his mother, his auntie,
and him,
and the young man who took my brother's life. Mm-hmm. And we stood on the steps of my work, and we cried and prayed and cried and prayed, and then of course, man, Frank and Nancy, 1 week later, I had him back at my work, and it was just him and I, and we had like a Let's Come to Jesus meeting.
Sure.
just him and I, and raised voices, and more or less mine. But what was more important to me at that particular time, as a social worker, you have to be able to, sometimes you got to go back in order to move forward.
Yes.
And so I had to go back and move forward. And then what was more important was forgiveness. And I asked him, how did he feel when he knew that he heard us say in court that we forgave him? And I pushed the record button. And I will tell you, it was 34 minutes of straight power. And he said 3 seconds. 3 seconds of rage, 3 seconds of anger is all it took. And that he could not take it back. Mm-hmm. And that he thought he was in a dream, because when we said that we forgave him, he was expecting us to say rotten jail, da da da,
right,
all these other things, Nancy.
Sure.
And for him to hear that we forgave him, he said it was surreal to him. He couldn't believe it. And so, you know, I talked to him just about every Friday.
Meaning to this day.
To this day. Mm-hmm. You know, Christmas time, you know, I talked to him. And he's, hey, man, I've got to be able to get some folks stuff for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And we met at the local mall and, you know, gave him a couple dollars and he went and did his thing. But just helping him along his journey, mm-hmm. Because although we forgave him, he's struggling, Frank,
with forgiving himself.
Right? And so my friends are like, and some of my fraternity brothers are like, man, what are you doing? Have you lost your mind? And I said, man, it's not me, it's God. It's not me, it's God. And so I'm just trying to be obedient and just do his will. And so the first time, man, we sat on a panel together, folks did not know the connection. He sat on one end, I sat on the other end, and someone asked him, he began to tell a story that he went to jail for 25 years. And then someone asked, how did it affect his family? Then another audience member asked, how did it affect the victim family? I still said nothing. And we had clergy and others on the panel. And then when I got an opportunity to speak, I said, what you guys don't know is that the young man's life that he took was my younger brother. And it was like an atomic bomb, Frank, blowing up in the room.
Oh, sure.
And even the clergy who sat on the panel with us was like, dude, I preach this every Sunday.
But they ain't living it.
But there you go, Nancy. Come on. He said, but I, right, as a pastor, I don't think I can do that. But I think the message is bigger. Mm-hmm. The message mm-hmm. is bigger. Healing, reconciliation, and forgiveness is bigger. Because, as I said earlier, we're trying to help you to move from being in bondage to being free. But it was a long process for me, and it's not an easy process. But forgiveness is a choice.
Absolutely.
Healing is a choice. Mm-hmm. We got brothers and sisters right now not speaking to each other.
Sure.
Yep.
Husbands and wives, fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. And I'm saying, don't wait because it might be too late.
Right.
You know, you tripping because of the relationship or the lack of relationship you're going to have with your father. He wasn't this, he wasn't that. And what I say to folks is, well, maybe, just maybe he was doing the best he knew how. Not to get him off the hook, but maybe he was doing the best he knew how. And God forgave us, so why can't we forgive others? And so that's the bigger message, that it's freeing.
You spoke of the atomic bomb in the room when you said your relationship with the brother.
Mm-hmm.
There's another atomic bomb I want to hear about, and that was when you blew up and that one-on-one sitting in a room, just the two of you. How did that look, and how did he withstand that? How did you do it without completely going off? How did that look?
Well, that's a great question, Frank. I will tell you that there was a lot of restraint there. I was nervous, so I knew he was nervous. I did not want to destroy what we were trying to do before we had an opportunity to do it. Mm-hmm. So it was – he just listened. Mm. He listened to me because I wanted to know what happened. You know, I wanted to know – what, and that's when he was asking, it just took 3 seconds, man, of rage. And if I could take it back, I would. Very remorseful. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of helped me not to go
nuts.
Even deeper.
Yeah. You know, but, you know, and so as I said before, there's life and death in the tongue. And I understood what the bigger picture was, which was we can save some other folks, we can assist some other folks on their journey. So, it didn't last really long. It was just
I needed to
get it off of me. It's like what's Erica Badu?
Bag lady.
Yeah. Mm. I was carrying all this baggage, and that was my opportunity to get that stuff off of me, right? To peel that old skin, that old leathery stuff that had dried up, but it was still heavy on me, and I needed to get that off of me. And he listened.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a dance. It was like a beautiful dance that sometimes I'm going to step on your shoe, you're going to step on my shoe, yeah. But we're trying to create this beautiful waltz.
We're trying to figure it out together.
Right, and so that's it, Frank. We were trying to figure it out together, and I knew, even with having the camera in the room, right, and I had to just say, look, I've got this camera here, and I probably should have recorded the entire journey.
So this was 2004, around that time.
What's this? This is 2 years ago.
25. Okay.
He came home about a little over 2 years ago.
Okay. All right.
And so that was that part, the beginning of that journey. Mm-hmm. I knew.
So you wish you had turned the camera on.
Yeah. Thanks, Nancy. Sure. I wish, but I didn't want to spook him.
Yeah.
One, just having a camera in a room at all, mm-hmm. Because
that was like security.
Right.
Having the camera was like, yeah, get a record.
So I didn't turn it on. And the first time I turned it on, because that was what was important to us, was for me, was forgiveness.
Sure.
Right. And so if I call him right now, mm-hmm. and say, listen, man, I'm in D.C. I need you right now. If he doesn't have a car, he'd get on a bicycle and start riding in this direction. Mm-hmm. And that's the relationship that we've formed. That's the bond that we have formed. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm maybe on the phone talking to him, and my baby girl, Lillian, will say, Daddy, was that the guy who killed your brother? Mm-hmm. And I said, yes. I will tell you that... sometimes it's I ask folks to pray for me all the time because
you ain't done.
I ain't done. Friend.
You got work to do.
I ain't done.
You're trying to still figure it out.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I really appreciate what you're saying, and I'm annoyed with myself. Yesterday, I read a passage from a book that was on forgiveness.
Mama.
And not having any clue what I would be talking about today, this morning.
Confirmation.
And the one thing it said that kind of surprised me was that you wanted to go through whatever your processes were. Mm-hmm. And that forgiveness without going through your anger, your rage, your pain, mm-hmm. wasn't real. Mm. And that... So it said it wasn't real. However, once you move through those places, mm-hmm. to not forgive when you know you've gotten to a healing space,
come on.
Makes your heart hard.
Yes.
And I noticed when I read that, I thought the pain, the rage, and the anger was what made your heart hard. Mm. Those things are in your heart asking to be purged. Mm-hmm. It's having purged those things,
yes.
knowing that you really aren't as angry as you had been, mm-hmm. that a lot of the wound has healed,
yes.
but you maintain this stance of anger and rage and hurt and pain.
Yes.
That you feel maybe you have to do for the person who's gone. Mm-hmm. You know, like you can't forgive this person because he took your brother's life. And so in honor of your brother, you have to stay mad. You have to stay angry.
Right.
And that's the poison.
Yes. Yes.
And it doesn't free you. It doesn't free him. And one might even argue that it doesn't free your brother's spirit.
Come on.
What I want to add to what you're saying is sometimes we just need models. Sometimes we don't know.
Right.
The only model we have is anger and vengeance.
People can be proud of their anger.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every form of life,
yes.
whether it be relationships,
yeah.
just your family, romantic, whatever have you. When you know that there was someone out here, hold up, if I just stop and think, Brother Green did this, and how did he do it? And you may need to call him and say, okay, I need some help here, help me,
right.
talk to me through this.
Right.
And it's certainly nothing anybody wants to experience.
Right.
No.
However, somebody will. And to know that there's a model out there that can help you move through whatever it is you're going through, whatever you consider to be your source of anger.
Right.
It's a powerful thing.
Right.
What we try to do, Frank, man, we try to get folks to slow the bus down. Sometimes our buses are moving so fast that we can't hear each other. We can't see each other. Just like, early in the morning, if you just say hello, 5 letters.
Yeah.
Just to say hello. It can take us on this beautiful journey if we allow it. Frank, I'll tell you, man, that we're going into churches, synagogues, your backyard, your dining room table, your men's group at church, your women's group, your whole entire congregation, colleges, universities, businesses, because there are major companies right now who need some healing.
Oh, no question.
Right?
Yeah.
I was working at school last week, and the two faces of the school, which are the
assistant principal and the principal.
No, not those. I mean, just the folks where you walk into the office.
Okay. Wow.
Right? The folks where you walk into the office. Okay. That's the first, when
line
you call on the phone.
Yes.
That's the first folk you're going to see, the first folks going to answer that phone. And just to see the dynamics of those two going back and forth. And I'm saying, mama, there is some stuff that needs to happen right here. And so when we talk about healing, reconciliation, and forgiveness, we've got to have those difficult conversations or courageous conversations that folks don't want to have.
Right.
You keep running from it, skirting from it. No, let's put the work in.
Sure.
Let's have some ground rules first. Let's look at what the end game is going to be, what we want it to be, that agape piece. What do we want it to be? Utopia, the land of happiness, pure pleasure. We may never reach that.
Okay.
But we can surely start moving in that direction. So organizations, man, there's some organizations that are struggling and are painful right now that can use this modeling aspect, can use this. Because what we try to do is just continue to breathe life. Breathe life and help you. Because sometimes we get stuck in that anger,
yeah,
and that other stuff,
yep.
That baggage, and before you know it, I didn't make that phone call at the right time, and that person I was angry with, they've gone on, they're gone.
They're gone.
The high power done bring them on home.
Now
who you mad at?
Yeah, and how can you heal
that? Yeah, and now you mad at yourself because you've been wanting to make the call, relationship between you and your son. And you don't make that phone call. Come on, man. I mean, it's just, it's in every aspect of it. We got to get unstuck.
This moment can always be the moment.
Frank. Woo-wee, brother. Say it again, man. Say it again.
This moment can always be the moment. You're listening to Frank Relationships. And we're talking with coach, consultant, trainer, facilitator, and the president and principal consultant of Deep Forgiveness, Brother Darryl C. Green III. Brother Green, please tell us what you're up to and how we can find you.
Well, listen, man, we're all over. We're coming to a town, city near you. Just reach out to us. Please visit our website at www.deepforgiveness.com. That's DEEP, forgiveness, all one word, .com. You can reach us directly on email at info@deepforgiveness.com. You can just call us directly at 443-739-3260. 443-739-3260. And listen, we got some exciting things happening. We just did some work with AARP. We just had a powerful meeting this week with the president of Morgan State University in Baltimore. Stony Brook University, November the 29th through December 3rd, we were slated to go, again, Deep Forgiveness. Who would have thought it? Was supposed to be in Havana, Cuba, but Cuba could not accommodate us, the full international conference. So we're going to be in Aruba, November the 29th through December 3rd.
Doing what?
It is a conference, a conference of color, coaching, I mean, counseling and treating people of color. Stony Brook University leads the way out of New York, and they do a conference on color every year. Last year was in Haiti. This year is going to be in Aruba. And so I've just been honored and blessed to be invited to come in and talk about healing and reconciliation and forgiveness and the power of healing. But we're going to be everywhere. So we will come to Louisiana if you need some healing. We'll come to Mexico, wherever. Just call us up and
make it happen.
Make it happen. Look at the website. There's a list of services.
I was ready to say, so how does it work when you all show up? You do processes with people.
Yeah, sometimes we'll go in beforehand and may talk to the powers that be and find out what's happening. Or sometimes we'll show up and we won't talk to anybody. And sometimes I show up at some of the schools that I'm going to do work in, and I'll just watch and look and see. Sometimes there are some events that may have happened, a death, a murder at that school. With the uprising in Baltimore, even looking at the Baltimore City Police Department with the DOJ report, there is a lot of healing that needs to happen, not only in Baltimore, but other cities, Charlotte. Mm-hmm. There's other cities who can benefit from bringing us in to help them along their journey. So there's a lot of stuff happening. Get on the calendar, man. Let's just call
it. Has Baltimore brought you in? Has the Baltimore City Police Department brought you in?
Well, I had a conversation in Annapolis. No, not yet.
Okay.
To answer that question. But I had a conversation with the commissioner, Kevin Davis, sent some emails. We have not gotten there yet, but prayerfully we will. Again, this week, powerful meeting at Morgan State University. And Morgan's going to be beginning to do some of the work with the new cadets, the new police cadets coming in to help to understand who we are.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And to help them to look through a different set of lenses.
Okay.
And so we're just excited about all the possibilities. I'm excited for all the listeners to get this message of healing, reconciliation today and forgiveness. And hopefully some of them will invite us in.
Yeah.
You know, when I am, when I'm doing an interview, when as we sit here, I got a pen in my hand, paper, you know, I could take some notes to questions and comments that I want to come make and come things I want to come back to. I got a page full. I don't even really know where to, you know, it's so much to talk about.
That's okay.
You know, let me first tell you how I met this brother.
Okay.
We were on a fatherhood panel
a
few months ago, and you know me, I'm crazy. You know, nobody.
I'm glad the mics are open. It's finally been acknowledged.
Nobody.
He's a good crazy friend. He's good crazy. He's good crazy.
And nobody agrees with me. But we sat on a panel together, and you know, they went down the line of panelists, and I was the last person.
Mm.
And he spoke of his story, and it was, you know, moving as it was Griffin. Just now.
Yeah.
And then I said my piece, and it was like we connected right away. Like I said, to have somebody who understood what I was talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, right there.
What did you say?
I was saying that it was important to remove some of the heat off of the way we look at quote unquote deadbeat dads and men who don't take care of their children. Let's remove some of the heat from that and look at the layers to the conversation, the many levels to what could be happening. And what comes to mind, even if I'm talking about this right now, is something I not jotted down, which is one of my favorite quotes, which is we could like everyone if we know their story.
Mm.
It is so, when I read that a year or so ago, it was so profound because people that we don't know are those that we are hardest on.
Mm.
But when we know people and we know what they're really dealing with, all of a sudden there's a part of our hearts open up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Connection. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, all of that comes to mind, and you know, I throw it to you, Brother Green, just how we met, and then we ended up staying in touch, you know, and here we are.
Yeah, well, matter of fact, when the event was over, I got a call, and it was Frank saying, "Hey, listen, this is how strong the connection was. Hey, listen, I'm having a cookout at the house.
Oh Lord,
I got all this stuff on the grill. Don't go back to Baltimore, man.
Wow.
And you're going to pass my house on the way. I had another engagement, but come on by." And that spirit was just a beautiful spirit, man, that the connection. And then to know that we have an even deeper connection with our fraternity. But again, when I say, man, slowing the bus down.
Yeah.
And if we knew folks' stories, we're more alike than we're different.
Sure. Yeah.
And it gives us an opportunity to be able to look through a different set of lenses. It gives us an opportunity, man, to be able to see folks for who they are. The madness that's happening here, when they pull us over, they don't know that we're husbands, we're fathers,
right,
we're somebody's son.
Right.
They don't know that we have a doctorate degree or a master's degree, that we're learned men.
Right.
You know, they look at us, in some cases, we're just bad dudes.
Well, mm-hmm. That you could be a good friend of someone they know.
Come on.
Yeah.
And communication, not just communication, Jeff, but effective communication, right? Slowing the bus down and effective communication it could take you on this beautiful journey, man. And I think that that's what happened for us, Frank, on that panel that day.
Indeed.
We slowed the bus down. We got an opportunity to see and respect each other's viewpoints.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, we just wanted men to bring men out of the cold.
Sure.
And bring them back at the table. And so let them have a seat at the table. Sometimes we're so hard and we don't let them at the table.
Right.
And so I'm working with some folks right now, man, just trying to listen, man. The seat is open for you to sit at the table.
And I want you there because you got something to offer.
Come on. I have a close friend, man, that him and his son, I see his son just about every Sunday when we go to church. I hug him. I tell him I love him.
Mm-hmm.
But I ain't his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And so, you know, I talk to his dad. I'm saying, hey, man, listen, come to church.
You matter.
To see him. And so, you know, but they'll work that out, man.
Right.
But just trying to be the conduit, man, to move folks from being in bondage to being free.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's our job.
Yeah.
And if not us, then who? Who
right.
gonna do it?
Right.
I mean, Nancy, who's gonna do it? And so I just think that's why I think this show is so powerful, to help folks through relationships, the different relationships and the different nuances. And some of us have a little bit more experience or have gone through some stuff that we can be a beacon of light for others who are struggling with that. Not that same thing, but maybe struggling. Nancy, I know that there's some young sisters around you who look at you as a model to say, let me go talk to Sister Nancy, because I know she's probably experienced this in a relationship, and how did you handle it?
Mm-hmm.
Again, letting them see through your set of lenses. Frank,
right.
There's brothers around you who are looking at you, being a good husband and a good father, you letting them see through a different set of lenses.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the powerful piece of us. And so I just say to folks, man, let our little light shine. This little light of mine.
Yeah.
I mean, just let it shine.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to see that light, man, and be able to move towards the light instead of staying in the dark.
Did we get the love we earn? I remember years ago having not the same conversation, but some kind of way, this, when you say take the heat off of Debbie Dads or any situation, you take the heat off of it. And I remember saying, we have to get past this place where we only get love if we've paid for it, something like that. So it's like the guy, there's plenty of guys that could run in the door right now and say, Nancy, I'm paying my child support every month faithfully and no one is giving me love. Mm-hmm. You know, so transcending this notion that we are only entitled to the love that we've paid for, like literally. And that ties into this conversation around agape. And because most of what makes a deadbeat in the minds of most people is what he's not providing financially. And you have this connection with this young man's father, and you're saying, come to church, spend some time with him. And guaranteed, I think what a lot of us miss is that when there's some kind of when there's an area of forgiveness there, well, between whomever, what we forget is that person oftentimes is nailed themselves to the cross. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking a man that can't spend a moment with his son is beating himself up.
Yeah, he's got some conversations going on with himself.
Mm-hmm. I don't deserve it. Why should he love me? I've never done anything for him. But you, his father.
And who knows what his relationship with his father was like.
Right.
And
here's
what his. Come on, man.
But here's the thing. That's the ship you rode in on.
Yeah.
If you believe that, you know, however you believe you get here, your parents were your gateway to get here. Mm-hmm. If they never do anything mm-hmm. for you. Mm-hmm. And I know that whole, you know, honor thy mother and thy father. And I heard this newscast about this kid. I mean, like little kid, they say they think he killed his father.
Right.
And yes. I didn't hear it all. I just heard it in passing in the kitchen
14-year-old
this morning.
Yesterday.
Yeah. And I'm like, wow, what in the heck did his father do that he would kill him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Pain and hurt, man.
Yeah.
And watch this. Hurt people hurt people.
There you go.
Hurt people hurt people.
Yeah. And if you understand that, it's you get that there's no limit to where that hurt began. Mm. If hurt people,
then
whoever's hurt was hurt by somebody who was hurt,
hurt
who was served by.
There you go.
I mean, when do we just
pump the brakes?
Exactly. Take the heat off and say, all right, let's pray.
Slow the bus down.
Let's just take a moment.
Yeah.
Let's understand that this isn't the person's fault that you're pointing at.
Right.
Because we can't even really see the root.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
So, and that's why I say, man, when I working with, I did fatherhood work for about 13 and a half years, speaking all across the country in fatherhood, and ran the largest fatherhood conference in the state of Maryland for about 8 years, and doing mentoring programs. And when working with these young guys, I'll say, what's the relationship between you and your father? Mm-hmm. I can't stand that. Baba, 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 right? And then I would say to them, so now, why are you doing the exact same thing that your dad did to you, to your children, if it hurts you so bad? And a light will come on like, boom. But they didn't see the connection. And I'm saying, man, listen, don't do to your child what your dad did to you. And again, we don't know the relationship. I mean, just how far this thing go back. Your great-great-grandfather. When I look at my own family, there are a lot of women in our family who father was not there for them.
Okay.
I.e. my mother. Mm-hmm. Who still has that father starvation. That father hunger, and her dad has gone on. But, you know, just like a powerful sister out of D.C., Janetta Rose Barris, whatever happened, who brung us in, whatever happened to daddy's little girl. And was I not good enough? We start to internalize those things, man. But just how far back does this thing go back? And did we just stop the bus, recognize that, and then pick up our pieces and move on towards healing and doing the right thing when it comes to our children, right? And the first relationship for me and even your household and your house, the first relationship my girl's ever going to have with a man is going to be me.
Yeah.
And if I screw that up, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that they're going to be screwed up individuals. But their decision-making process may be skewed in the man that they choose.
And you know they can benefit from you nailing it. If you get it right,
come on.
You know they can benefit.
Come on. So. Come on.
You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, my oldest daughter said, and my youngest, Daddy, how can I find a husband like you? I said, don't worry about it. I'm going to help you.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to help you. Mama going to help you, too.
Let's kind of, as we wrap up, it's always important to point to how this can benefit relationships. Mm-hmm. And I want to throw out there, and looking at forgiveness and relationships, really, there is virtually nothing your partner can do that you can't get over.
Come on.
Period.
Come on.
You know, just,
if you all in.
If you all in. Mm-hmm. If you are mm-hmm. all in. If mm-hmm. that partner is the partner for you, if you clear about that, then get all
there
in.
There is no, right. What's that song? I haven't heard it yet. Lemonade?
You haven't? Oh.
I haven't heard it yet.
I haven't either.
But just based on the clips I've seen, and the I was just like, oh my goodness. So, okay. Yeah. Okay. You, no need for the Lemonade CD.
I don't know Lemonade.
Right,
so.
Right, right.
So listen, let me just say, man, in every relationship, man, there's got to be some healing. There's got to be some reconciliation. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some forgiveness. If you really want it to work, if you really want to move forward, if you want to move towards healing, get that poison out of you, mm-hmm. Get unstuck.
Sure.
And so I'm just honored, man, that you guys invited me into your house today, man, to sit at your table. Thank you for allowing me to have a space at the table to talk about my work and what we're trying to do across the country. Not only across the country, Frank and Nancy, but across the world. Because mm-hmm. this world needs healing, man.
Yes,
we
yes.
need healing. And so I thank you, man. And to the listening audience, thank you. And you guys can reach me at www.deepforgiveness.com or either info@deepforgiveness.com. That's the email and phone number, 443-739-3260. I'm Daryl Green, man. I appreciate you guys just being a part of this beautiful conversation, or allow me to be a part of this beautiful conversation today.
Yeah. Thank you, my brother. One thing that we didn't discuss, and we mentioned, but we didn't define, is agape love.
Yeah. For me, man, it is...
And I don't even know if I pronounced it right. Yeah, I've heard different pronunciations.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's just for me, if I'm just trying to be all in with the love. I'm just trying to be all in. I'm trying to just embrace you with the full armor, with everything that I have, unconditional love, all of that. And folks will say, well, you're working with a kid who took your brother's life, man. That is agape love. And so I'm just trying to help others to get there. And I'm not always there yet, but I can share my little piece of the journey that I've had.
Sure, sure. Excellent. I think the other thing I appreciate about agape, in much of this conversation, you've mentioned that so much of your journey has been undergirded by your faith.
Yes.
And I think in this day and age, it's important to acknowledge that not everybody is on a faith journey.
No.
They may be on their own version of a spiritual journey, but it doesn't include faith as we typically understand it. And I just want to say that doesn't absolve them of going through whatever they need to go through to get to a place of healing.
Yes.
And agape transcends religious affiliation.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what I like about the term. It doesn't mean I'm a Christian,
that's
so
right.
I'm a Muslim, so I got to do this because the Quran or the Bible says, as a human being,
yes,
you have certain obligations. To be moral does not necessarily mean, and in no way means, that you are religious or vice versa.
That's right.
You can be religious and not moral.
Come on.
Believe it or not.
Come on.
And so I'm happy that you use that term to let anybody listening or, you know, looking to say, well, how is this conversation really relevant for me if I don't do come to Jesus meeting. Get it powerful together.
Point.
Yeah. You're human. Things happen. And even if you consider yourself to be the source of your life, you are no less responsible. As a matter of fact, you are more responsible for creating a certain quality of experience than you might be if you was leaning on the everlasting arm.
you know what I'm saying? Right.
You really need to pull it up.
Yes.
So thank you for using that term. That really works
for
me.
Thank you, Nancy.
You've been listening to Frank Relationships, and we've been talking with coach, consultant, trainer, facilitator, and the president and principal consultant of Deep Forgiveness, Brother Daryl C. Green III. Along today's journey, we've discussed having hard conversations, adjusting our lenses, and, of course, forgiveness. Thank you to my co-host, Nancy. Thank you to Jeff Newman, my engineer. And thank you to my guest, Brother Daryl C. Green III. You have been great.
Thank you, sir.
I hope you've had as much fun as I've had hanging out with today's ensemble. As always, it's my wish for you to walk away from this conversation with a heaping helping of useful information that'll help you create a relationship that's as loving and accepting as possible. Let us know what you thought of today's show at Facebook.com/RelationshipFLove, on Twitter at Mr. That's M-R Frank Love, or at franklove.com. If you're listening via iTunes, please make sure you subscribe so that you can receive each week's show. This is Frank Love.